Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. Today we hear a message that's not new to us. We hear it in a slightly different way, and there are different perspectives of how to view these events. But the bottom line is, it's not anything new. We've heard it before. In Paul's letter to Timothy, we're reminded that greed, especially and including greed of money, is not a new struggle for them at that time in the church. Neither is it not a struggle for us. Part of the message, it seems to me, is not just about money or greed of money or how we struggle with money or even how we make decisions based on our monetary position. The thing that strikes me in Paul's letter is the reminder that it's not just about or even about the role of wealth in our life or how we see wealth. It's about remembering that God gives us all things. God gives life to all things. Nothing that we have actually belongs to us. The lure of money as power or source of happiness can find us in a place where the quest for money is the most important part of our lives. We can lose sight of the fact that God has to be the more important, the most important, the ultimate important factor in our lives. By putting God first in all that we do, we can put the possessions of wealth into perspective. It is good to especially recognize the fact that what we have or we don't have is not a measure of how much God shows us favor, nor how much God loves us. When we remove God from the equation of giving of our treasures, we start to think, oh, this is mine. Wait a minute, I earned this. Maybe I shouldn't give it away because it's mine. It keeps me safe. I worked for it. And somehow then it morphs into believing that you have a standing in life that is higher than others, that offers you privilege over those who have less. Well, you've heard it. My Mercedes is my reward from God, implying somehow that those who drive other, maybe lesser models of vehicle, are somehow lesser. I often ask myself why financial stability can bring more joy than the privilege of living in God's kingdom, God's creation. And I admit that sometimes I put wealth first in my life over the great wealth that is offered to me through the beauty of what I see through the window or sense when I engage with the creation. What are my priorities? How do I make better choices? As disciples of Jesus, I invite you to ask those questions of yourself. Today's parable warns us about the dangers of how greed and wealth can separate us from God. It can create a great chasm that cannot be crossed. Why is that? It's because of the things that prosperity can do for us, makes us self-important. It allows us to appoint ourselves as Lord, small l, as the rulers of our lives, as the force that makes things happen, rather than depending on our Lord, capital L, our true God. And the danger is that we result in listening to our own self rather than listening to God. Today's scripture reminds us that even though we have Moses and the prophets, shouldn't listen to them. The rich man pleads, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." What is the reply? "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Now that's the key for me today in today's lesson, that anything that comes between us and God interferes with our willingness, our ability to go to God, to listen to God, to find the direction in our lives. Those things that we like or want or treasure besides God keep us from hearing God, create a chasm. So now, as you all know, one of my favorite pastimes is to watch my grandchildren play soccer. In the middle of a particular game that I was watching, one of the children walked off the field. And he did this at the end where there was no action. Everybody was up here, and he stayed down there and walked off the field. His team was down a person as they attempted to get power or control of the ball and make a score, but he was still down there. The other children were waiting to hear yeah, you got it, you good job, from their parents. He just looked around, slowly walked over off the field, leaned down, reached, and picked a dandelion. He then took the dandelion, walked to the sidelines, and presented it to his mother. After he presented the flower, without saying a word, he returned to the field and resumed play. We need to take a break from a focus of individual success and remember to offer our energy and love, if you will, to someone else that needs it. I don't know what his mom needed, but someone did. I don't know what he needed, but someone did. God did. Now, we may not have extensive knowledge of the Bible. We may not have extensive knowledge about the church. But we do have the knowledge that Jesus is indeed risen from the grave and that we are indeed loved and forgiven. As we go about doing the work of disciples of Christ, we might consider ourselves to be kind of like a dandelion. God picked us. We are God's dandelion. Dandelions in their wild abandon are everywhere, and they are considered to be invasive, even considered to be a weed. The common dandelion, think about it. Its roots are deep, so deep that it has the ability to continue to live and bloom year after year and attempts all kinds of ways to destroy it, to resist all ways to restore it, destroy it. Its greens are a nourishing food. It produces a lovely yellow flower that is followed by a poof stem of feather-like seeds ready to be blown by the wind or by the breath of a child or even a grown-up to travel near and far to cultivate new dandelions. Consider it. There are some that would say that we as Christians are like weeds and interfere with the quest of personal worldly gain. I hope so. I hope that as Jesus' disciples, we are deep-rooted in our faith, deep-rooted enough to become, to grow into a lovely image, like a flower, manifest to all that sees us as beautiful and created by God, and then deep-rooted enough to send out the seeds of the good news to the world. The image of a child offering a flower to his mother, temporarily leaving behind a soccer game, inspired me to consider how much small acts of kindness can make a difference in our lives and in the lives of others. All who observe random acts of kindness are blessed by their actions. Sometimes we need to walk off the field, take a moment, and pick a dandelion. Amen.